Beautiful Disaster has captivated millions of readers worldwide with its raw, intense portrayal of college romance. Jamie Maguire's breakout novel became a #1 New York Times bestseller, launching the new adult genre into the mainstream and inspiring countless imitators. The book resonated so deeply with readers that celebrities like Jessica Simpson and Jennifer Lawrence have cited it as a favorite, with Lawrence reportedly expressing interest in playing Abby in a film adaptation. What makes this story so compelling is its unflinching look at how two people with complicated pasts navigate the messy terrain of first love, addiction, and self-discovery, themes that continue to make it relevant a decade after its publication. Eastern University freshman Abby Abernathy steps onto campus with meticulous determination, her carefully selected wardrobe of pearl earrings and pink cashmere cardigan serving as armor against her shadowed past. Every detail of her appearance, from her conservative sweater sets to her deliberately understated makeup, has been chosen to project an image of wholesome innocence. It's a stark departure from the life she left behind in Kansas, though glimpses of that other version of herself occasionally surface in her eyes. This painstakingly constructed facade first begins to crack when her vivacious best friend America, with characteristic disregard for Abby's protests, convinces her to attend an underground fight club. The venue is a grimy basement beneath a local restaurant, thick with cigarette smoke and testosterone. Sweaty bodies press together as spectators wave cash in the air, placing bets with a fever that makes Abby's skin crawl. The scene is everything she's trying to leave behind: chaos, violence, and the intoxicating pull of risk. At the center of this maelstrom stands Travis Mad Dog Maddox, his muscled torso gleaming under harsh fluorescent lights, tribal tattoos snaking across his skin. He moves with lethal grace in the makeshift ring, systematically dismantling his opponent with a precision that speaks to years of experience. When blood from the fight sprays across Abby's pristine cardigan, it serves as a visceral metaphor for how Travis will soon disrupt her carefully ordered world. Their first interaction crackles with tension as Travis approaches her, towel in hand. He dabs at her face with unexpected gentleness, christening her Pigeon, a nickname that manages to be both mocking and oddly tender. The contrast between them couldn't be more striking. His raw intensity versus her studied refinement, his open aggression against her careful restraint. Yet there's an immediate recognition between them, a spark that unsettles Abby more than she cares to admit. The collision of their worlds intensifies when Travis appears in her economics class the next morning, claiming the seat beside her with casual confidence. His request for notes is transparent pretext, met with Abby's sharp, "I won't sleep with you." But Travis Maddox isn't easily deterred, especially not by a challenge as intriguing as Abby's steadfast resistance. Through persistent charm and strategic manipulation of their mutual friendships, he manages to draw her into his orbit, securing her presence at his apartment alongside America. What neither fully grasps yet is the deeper resonance between them, two souls shaped by circumstances they're both trying to outrun. Travis recognizes in Abby a familiar darkness she works so hard to hide, while she sees in him echoes of a world she's desperate to escape. Their initial attraction runs deeper than physical chemistry or the thrill of the chase. It's rooted in a mutual understanding of pain and survival, even as Abby fights desperately against acknowledging this connection. What begins as Travis's pursuit of another conquest evolves into something neither expected, a genuine friendship that challenges both their preconceptions. When Travis helps Abby study for her biology test, creating clever mnemonics for cell division phases, PMAT, pretty metaphase, anaphase, telophase, we see a different side of him. He's intelligent, attentive, and genuinely invested in her success, spending hours crafting study guides and quizzing her until she masters the material. This marks the beginning of their routine. Travis sitting with Abby in history, bringing her favorite cranberry juice at lunch, and walking her to class, actions that spark whispers among their peers who can't reconcile this behavior with Travis's notorious reputation. Yet beneath this seemingly innocent friendship simmers an undeniable attraction that manifests in subtle touches and lingering glances. During a night out at the Red Door Club, Travis pulls Abby close while dancing, his hands on her hips as she feels his muscled chest through his thin black shirt. The electricity between them is palpable, the bass of the music matching their racing heartbeats. When he kisses her neck, she pulls away angrily, accusing him of making things worse regarding the campus rumors about them, rumors that paint her as just another notch in his bedpost. This moment highlights the central tension in their relationship, the increasingly blurred lines between friendship and something more intense, something neither is prepared to acknowledge. Their dynamic takes another dramatic turn when they make a high-stakes bet. If Travis's opponent lands a single punch in his next underground fight, he'll abstain from sex for a month. If not, Abby must stay at his apartment for 30 days. Travis wins the fight with characteristic dominance, and Abby finds herself living with him despite the convenient timing of her dorm's boiler repairs. This forced proximity intensifies their connection, but also exposes their deepest insecurity, Travis's fear of abandonment and Abby's struggle with her past. Travis's possessive jealousy emerges full force when Abby begins dating Parker Hayes, a pre-med student with a perfect 4.0 GPA and a silver Porsche, everything Travis isn't. While Parker represents stability, social acceptance, and a conventional future, Travis embodies passion, danger, and unpredictability. Their contrasting personalities play out in telling ways. Parker takes Abby to expensive restaurants and plans every date meticulously, while Travis's spontaneous adventures lead to midnight pizza runs and impromptu motorcycle rides. Abby's attraction to both men reflects her internal struggle between the safe, respectable life she thinks she should want and the chaotic, passionate one that actually makes her feel alive. This love triangle isn't merely about choosing between two men. It's about Abby deciding which version of herself she wants to become and whether she's brave enough to embrace the truth of who she really is beneath her carefully constructed facade. As their relationship deepens, both Abby and Travis begin revealing the profound wounds they carry beneath their carefully constructed facades. Travis shares the devastating loss of his mother when he was just 3 years old, leaving him to be raised in a testosterone-fueled household by his alcoholic father and four older brothers. This early trauma shaped him profoundly, teaching him to guard his heart behind walls of casual hookups and fierce independence. His mother's death left him with an almost pathological fear of emotional vulnerability, manifesting in aggressive displays of masculinity and an inability to form lasting romantic connections. Abby's secret proves even more complex and far-reaching. As the daughter of Mick Abernathy, a notorious professional gambler known throughout the underground poker circuit, her childhood was anything but conventional. Instead of bedtime stories and playground visits, young Abby spent her formative years in smoke-filled casino backrooms, learning to read tells and calculate odds before she could multiply. This revelation dramatically surfaces during an impromptu poker game at the Maddox family home, where Abby's expert play betrays years of experience far beyond casual card games. Travis's brother Thomas immediately identifies her as Lucky 13, a nickname that carries the weight of her father's infamous declaration that his legendary luck transferred to his daughter at midnight on her 13th birthday. Their shared history of childhood trauma creates an intense understanding between them, but it also amplifies their self-destructive tendencies in dangerous ways. When Travis overhears Anerika telling Shepley that he's toxic for Abby, his response is catastrophically self-sabotaging. In a drunken rage, he brings home two women for a threesome, deliberately ensuring Abby can hear everything from her room next door. This cruel act stems from his bone-deep conviction that he's unworthy of genuine love, a belief system installed by years of emotional neglect. Abby's self-destructive patterns manifests more subtly, but no less destructively. She consistently pushes Travis away at moments of genuine connection, convinced that fully loving him means surrendering to the very chaos she spent years trying to escape. Their first intimate encounter becomes a turning point when Abby, typically the more emotionally stable of the pair, adopts Travis's signature move by sneaking out before dawn, treating their meaningful connection as just another casual encounter. This role reversal demonstrates how deeply their dysfunction runs, with each character weaponizing the other's vulnerabilities. Their relationship evolves into a complex mirror, reflecting their deepest fears and insecurities, Travis's paralyzing terror of abandonment, and Abby's desperate fear of becoming like her father, trapped in cycles of addiction and chaos. Each moment of intimacy becomes double-edged, offering healing while simultaneously reopening old wounds. Their love story truly embodies its beautiful disaster moniker, presenting a relationship that simultaneously nurtures and damages, heals and hurts, saves and destroys in equal measure. The relationship reaches its breaking point during what should have been a simple trip to Las Vegas to help Abby's father resolve a $25,000 gambling debt. The city's neon lights and constant buzz of slot machines serve as painful reminders of Abby's childhood trauma. When they encounter Benny, a notorious loan shark known for his underground fighting circuit, he sees potential in Travis's raw talent and offers him a contract worth more than enough to solve their financial troubles. Travis, driven by his protective instincts and desire to prove himself worthy, immediately sees this as his chance to be Abby's savior. For Abby, watching Travis eagerly accept the offer triggers deep-seated fears and memories. The scene before her, the handshakes, the promises of easy money, the dangerous glint in Benny's eyes, mirrors countless moments from her childhood when her father chose the adrenaline rush of risk over stability. The parallel becomes unbearable as she realizes she's witnessing history repeat itself in real time. "I had dragged Travis to the core of everything I hated," Abby realizes with crushing clarity, "and if he wouldn't let me save him, I had to save myself." The decision to leave comes with brutal finality. While Travis busies himself in the kitchen, Abby methodically packs her belongings, each item a weight in her chest. She slips out without goodbye, knowing she lacks the strength to resist his inevitable pleas and promises. The separation affects them both profoundly. Travis spirals into a depression, marked by sleepless nights and neglected responsibilities. His appearance deteriorates, unshaven, dark circles under his eyes, wearing the same clothes for days. When he finally corners Abby outside the campus cafeteria, the encounter is raw and desperate. He announces his rejection of Benny's offer, his voice hoarse with emotion, and falls to his knees in front of passing students. The fresh tattoo of her name on his wrist, a permanent mark of his devotion, glistens like an accusation. Abby's refusal to reconcile, despite her heart screaming otherwise, marks her first true act of self-preservation. She recognizes their relationship's toxic patterns, the intensity that often masks dysfunction, the way crisis brings them together, only to tear them apart again. Even as she watches Travis crumble before her, she maintains her resolve, understanding that his grand gesture, while sincere, doesn't address their fundamental issues. This breaking point serves as a crucial catalyst for both characters' development. For Abby, it represents choosing long-term well-being over immediate emotional satisfaction. For Travis, it's a harsh lesson that love requires more than dramatic declarations and physical sacrifices. It demands genuine growth and stability. Their time apart, though agonizing, creates space for both to examine their patterns and consider what a healthy relationship might actually require. After their painful breakup, Travis and Abby navigate the aftermath in distinctly different ways. Travis maintains a carefully constructed facade of normalcy at school, but those closest to him witness his profound struggle. He deliberately breaks his phone to remove the temptation of calling her, a gesture that reveals both his desperation and his attempt at self-control. Meanwhile, Abby immerses herself in academic work, transforming final exams into a shield against emotional turmoil. She spends long hours in the library, surrounded by textbooks that can't fill the void but provide a temporary escape. Their carefully maintained distance crumbles when Travis approaches Abby with an unexpected request to attend Thanksgiving with his family, who remain unaware of their separation. At his father's house, a pivotal conversation with Jim Maddox illuminates the deep-rooted source of Travis's emotional barriers. Jim reveals how Travis's mother's death created a profound wound that never properly healed, explaining how his son quit trying to love people after losing her. "You're the only woman he's loved besides his mother," Jim confides in Abby, providing context for Travis's intense fear of abandonment. He emphasizes that while Travis's mistakes are real, his capacity for love runs deeper than his flaws. This revelation helps Abby piece together the puzzle of Travis's behavior, his overwhelming jealousy, fierce possessiveness, and paralyzing fear of abandonment all trace back to the traumatic loss of his mother. Simultaneously, Travis begins to understand how his volatile actions mirror the chaos of Abby's childhood, triggering her deep-seated fears of repeating her father's destructive patterns. While this mutual understanding doesn't magically resolve their issues, it creates fertile ground for emotional growth and healing. Their reconciliation culminates at a Valentine's Day party, where Travis's carefully maintained composure finally cracks. In an alcohol-fueled moment of raw honesty, he delivers a bitter toast to douchebags and girls that break your heart before revealing his true pain, losing his best friend because he fell in love with her. Though Abby initially resists this emotional display, their confrontation leads to a powerful moment where Travis declares his devotion while acknowledging her independence. This represents a crucial evolution in their relationship, Travis finally expressing vulnerability instead of attempting to maintain control through possessiveness. The transformation of their love is tested in the crucible of crisis when a devastating fire breaks out at Keaton Hall. Trapped in the burning building, Travis makes the ultimate demonstration of his growth by risking everything to save Abby, later admitting that facing death clarified his priorities. Nothing mattered except being with her. This near-death experience strips away their remaining defenses, revealing the essential truth of their connection. In this moment of absolute clarity, Abby spontaneously proposes marriage in Vegas, a gesture that represents both their willingness to embrace uncertainty together and their growth beyond past fears. Travis's immediate acceptance shows how far they've come, from a relationship defined by control and fear to one built on trust and mutual vulnerability. Their journey illustrates how love can flourish not despite scars, but because of them, when both partners learn to understand, accept, and grow from their past wounds rather than letting them dictate their future. The novel's conclusion masterfully reveals that Travis and Abby were always more alike than different, both shaped by childhoods marked by instability and loss, both masters at constructing emotional barriers, and both haunted by an intense fear of vulnerability while simultaneously yearning for genuine connection. Their evolution from mutual antagonism to tentative friendship to profound love demonstrates how our deepest emotional wounds can ultimately guide us toward our most meaningful relationships. Travis's revelation about keeping an engagement ring hidden in his nightstand, purchased long before he felt confident enough to propose, illuminates the depth of his transformation. Beneath his volatile exterior and reputation for impulsivity lay a man capable not only of commitment, but of quiet, hopeful planning for a future he barely dared to imagine. The ring represents both his faith in their connection and his terror of losing it, carefully concealed behind his outward bravado. Similarly, Abby's decision to get Mrs. Maddox permanently tattooed on her hip marks a profound shift in her self-perception. This gesture transcends mere romantic sentiment. It represents her conscious choice to embrace the parts of herself she'd spent years trying to suppress. The risk-taker, the passionate soul, the girl who finds beauty in life's chaos. The tattoo becomes a declaration of not just love for Travis, but acceptance of her authentic self. Their wedding day in Vegas carries echoes of their first fateful trip, but with crucial differences. Even as they prepare to board their flight home as newlyweds, Travis reveals his persistent vulnerability, confessing his fear that this happiness might dissolve like a dream. Despite all of Abby's demonstrable commitment, leaving someone for him twice, returning to Vegas, marking herself as his childhood wounds still whisper of abandonment. This raw admission shows how deeply his early experiences of loss continue to shape his emotional landscape. Abby's response to his fear proves both playful and profound. By proposing one final bet, wagering their future firstborn on their marriage lasting forever, she transforms their complicated relationship with gambling into something redemptive. Their shared heritage of cards and wagers, once a source of shame and painful memories, becomes reimagined as a private language of love and commitment. Wanna bet? Evolves from a challenge into a covenant, an acknowledgement that while love always carries risk, some gambles are destined to pay off. Their story concludes not with the elimination of fear, but with the conscious choice to bet on love despite it. Beautiful Disaster ultimately tells us that love isn't about finding someone perfect. It's about finding someone whose imperfections complement our own. Travis and Abby's relationship is messy, intense, and sometimes toxic, yet it also contains moments of profound understanding and growth. Their dynamic illustrates how real relationships often exist in the gray areas between healthy and destructive, where genuine connection and problematic patterns intertwine. This complexity manifests in their passionate arguments, followed by equally passionate reconciliations, their protective instincts that sometimes border on possessiveness, and their deep-seated fear of vulnerability that paradoxically draws them closer together. Their journey reminds us that healing isn't linear. Travis doesn't magically overcome his jealousy and insecurity. Abby doesn't completely resolve her fears about becoming her father. Instead, they learn to recognize these patterns and communicate through them, gradually building trust despite their scars. Each setback and argument becomes an opportunity for growth, even when they handle it imperfectly. Travis's struggles with anger management, evident in his fights at the underground boxing matches and his explosive reactions to perceived threats to their relationship, and Abby's tendency to run from emotional intimacy, showcase how past trauma shapes present behavior, requiring patience and understanding from both partners. The novel doesn't offer a sanitized version of love, but rather an honest portrayal of how two damaged people might find their way to each other. It acknowledges that sometimes the people who understand us best are those who've walked through similar fires. Travis and Abby recognize in each other not just the damage, but the strength it took to survive. Their shared understanding of pain and resilience creates a unique bond, one that allows them to see past each other's defensive mechanisms and connect on a deeper level. This connection is particularly evident in moments when they instinctively understand each other's triggers and fears, like Travis recognizing Abby's need for independence or Abby understanding Travis's fear of abandonment. Throughout their relationship, we see how their individual healing journeys become intertwined. Travis learns to channel his protective instincts in healthier ways, moving from physical confrontations to more constructive expressions of care. Abby gradually allows herself to be vulnerable despite her fear of repeating familial patterns, learning that her past doesn't have to dictate her future. Their story demonstrates how love can serve as both a mirror reflecting our wounds and a catalyst for addressing them. Small victories become significant milestones, like Travis choosing to walk away from a fight or Abby staying to work through a problem instead of fleeing. In the end, Beautiful Disaster suggests that true love doesn't require us to be perfect. It simply asks that we be brave enough to show up with all our flaws and keep betting on each other, day after day. Sometimes the most beautiful relationships are built not despite our disasters, but because of them, because they taught us how to love with our whole scarred hearts. The novel reminds us that real love isn't about finding someone who never makes mistakes, but rather finding someone who's willing to work through the mistakes together, growing stronger through each challenge they face. This message resonates particularly strongly through the novel's exploration of forgiveness, not as a one-time act, but as a daily choice to understand and accept each other's humanity. Their relationship serves as a testament to the power of accepting both the light and shadow within ourselves and others. Through their story, we learn that sustainable love isn't about avoiding conflicts or maintaining a perfect facade. It's about creating a safe space where both partners can be authentically themselves, mistakes and all. The novel ultimately celebrates the beauty in this messiness, suggesting that our capacity to love deeply is not diminished by our flaws, but perhaps even enhanced by them. The novel reminds us that real love isn't about finding someone who never makes mistakes, but rather finding someone who's willing to work through the mistakes together, growing stronger through each challenge they face. Their relationship serves as a testament to the power of accepting both the light and shadow within ourselves and others. Through their story, we learn that sustainable love isn't about avoiding conflicts or maintaining a perfect facade. It's about creating a safe space where both partners can be authentically themselves, mistakes and all. The novel ultimately celebrates the beauty in this messiness, suggesting that our capacity to love deeply is not diminished by our flaws, but perhaps even enhanced by them. The novel reminds us that real love isn't about finding someone who never makes mistakes, but rather finding someone who's willing to work through the mistakes together, growing stronger through each challenge they face. This message resonates particularly strongly through the novel's exploration of forgiveness, not as a one-time act, but as a daily choice to understand and accept each other's humanity. Their relationship serves as a testament to the power of accepting both the light and shadow within ourselves and others. Through their story, we learn that sustainable love isn't about avoiding conflicts or maintaining a perfect facade. It's about creating a safe space where both partners can be authentically themselves, mistakes and all. The novel ultimately celebrates the beauty in this messiness, suggesting that our capacity to love deeply is not diminished by our flaws, but perhaps even enhanced by them.